Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be discussing a new court ruling on a lawsuit against Tesla. We also have some updated sales information on the Ford Mach-E, and GM and Stellantis have reported earnings. They have shared a couple of interesting comments, one on the regulatory credit situation that we discussed yesterday with Tesla for Stellantis, and then also both of them have commented on the semiconductor shortages. As you can probably tell again today, I am still a little bit on the mend here, feeling better than yesterday though, so hopefully again better tomorrow, but thanks for all the well wishes yesterday. Taking a look at the stock today, Tesla finishing down 0.4% to $670.94. That was pretty much equivalent to the NASDAQ, also down 0.4%. Fittingly for the pretty quiet week that we've had so far, volume has been really low. It looks like this will be the lowest volume day that we've had for Tesla in the last couple of months. Alright, so first up here we've got an update on an ongoing lawsuit against Tesla's board of directors and Elon Musk for Elon Musk's compensation plan. I tend to not follow these things super closely, every company's always got lawsuits going against it. For Elon Musk's compensation plan, obviously that has been very rewarding for long-term shareholders. I think by now most viewers have a really good understanding of how that plan was structured, but basically Elon Musk would have not received any compensation if Tesla had not done well for investors. But I did do a video a while back going through all the details on that plan if you do want to check that out. Anyway, I do find this update to be somewhat noteworthy. So earlier this week, a Delaware judge ordered Tesla's board of directors to turn over communications between Elon Musk and two former Tesla attorneys about the CEO compensation plan. So the reason I say that this is somewhat noteworthy is because the lawsuit has progressed to a point where new information is going to be disclosed. And while I wouldn't expect anything that would cause any liability from that, it is something that I think is worth at least paying attention to. So this would be communications between Musk and Todd Marin and Jonathan Chang, if you remember those two former general counsels. And while normally attorney-client privilege would apply, because this case is accusing a breach of fiduciary responsibilities by Musk and the board, the plaintiff looks like has successfully argued that there's a conflict of interest here, which required, quote, heightened judicial suspicion, end quote. So I'm not sure if those conversations get released to just the plaintiff or to the public as well, but again, we'll keep an eye on it. The court did say, though, that the communications between Chang, Marin, and the rest of the board did not need to be disclosed. All right, moving on here, we've got an update on the Ford Mustang Mach-E. I think this is kind of interesting because when we had seen Ford's February sales reported, when the Mustang Mach-E sold around 3,700 units or so, there was a ton of attention given to that and how Ford was stealing market share away from Tesla. Obviously, we know that the market is growing as a whole. At the time, I did an entire episode about how people should stop focusing on EV market share as a metric, especially for individual countries. Worldwide, there's a little bit of merit there, but in general, the concept I think is overemphasized and misunderstood. And I think with these Mustang Mach-E numbers, we now have kind of case in point on that. So Ford announced that in April in the US, they sold 1,951 Mustang Mach-Es. This was down from just over 2,500 in March. And as I said, over 3,700 in February. So certainly not the best look there in terms of Ford sales. But we don't see articles now about, oh, Tesla is taking away Ford's market share for electric vehicles. Not saying that we should see articles like that, but just pointing out the clear double standard. Just like with Tesla, Ford may have been shipping those vehicles to other countries instead. I know we've started to see a few of them pop up in places like Norway. Maybe they've had production problems with the semiconductor shortages, maybe some combination of those factors. Just last week, Ford's CEO said that the Mach-E was sold out, and Clean Technica did get a reply from Ford. They said, quote, "We are selling every Mustang Mach-E we can build right now with days to turn on dealer lots of just 4 days. We are still building dealer stock on lots, and we have many still in transit. We are also trying to satisfy global demand from the same plant at the same time. We are filling all orders globally as fast as we can," end quote. Looking at the Mach-E forums, it does look like this is the case. A lot of reservation holders still waiting for updates on their vehicles, but at the same time, there is a decent amount of Mach-E inventory on Ford's site. There are a bunch out in California, 100 plus matches within 20 miles of 90210 Beverly Hills, but even by me in Milwaukee, there are a couple within 20 miles as well. So with all that said, I wouldn't read too much into the sales decline that we've seen over the last couple of months, but hopefully Ford will continue to share that information out and we can keep an eye on it. Next here, we've got updates from earnings reports from both Stellantis and General Motors today. First, from Stellantis, this is a continuation of our conversation yesterday about regulatory credits. Remember, Stellantis' CEO said that it looked like they weren't going to need to pool with Tesla this year. On the earnings call, Stellantis' CFO, Richard Palmer, who was the person that back in March had said that Stellantis' regulatory credit spending this year would be lower than last year, but not significantly lower. Well, he has now changed his tune on that following the comments that we had heard from Stellantis' CEO. So CFO Richard Palmer now says that Stellantis now expects to sell enough zero-emission vehicles to meet regulatory credit standards on its own, and that the move will save the company about €300 million, $360 million per year, which Palmer said roughly two-thirds of would have gone to Tesla. So two-thirds of $360 million would have been about $240 million or $60 million per quarter. So it looks like this is actually a smaller portion of Tesla's regulatory credit sales than I think we once thought. Of course, Tesla this year did add Honda to their pooling agreement with Fiat Chrysler in Europe, but Honda doesn't do a ton of volume in Europe. Then, of course, we should have more credits coming in from Volkswagen in China. And there still are regulatory credits in the US, but it's not clear exactly how much Tesla is earning each quarter from those. So regulatory credit sales are definitely still going to continue to be a little bit of a black box for Tesla, but what's clear is they're not all going away here. Their sales in Q1, for example, were just over $500 million. If Stellantis is saying that they were only projecting about $240 million for the year, obviously there are significant regulatory credit sales coming in from other sources as well. Even so, if regulatory credit sales do diminish, now is probably a good time for that to happen, as we've talked about with Musk's compensation plan. About 70% of that has already been recognized, and the hit from that the last three quarters has been outsized. So the impact of that, especially as Tesla grows revenue in the next few quarters, is going to be declining already. So Tesla should be in a really good spot to show profitability even without those regulatory credit sales. Again, we shouldn't be expecting those to go to zero, but just hypothetically, if they did, it wouldn't be the worst time for that to happen. The other point I wanted to bring up from Stellantis' earnings, and this will carry over to GM's as well, but they did talk about chip shortages. They expect that to worsen in the current quarter before easing a little bit in the second half of 2021. GM also shared a similar sentiment on their earnings call, GM CFO saying that, quote, "You know, I would say in all honesty that Q2 is probably worse than we expected," end quote. So just bringing this up because the narrative around semiconductor shortages is that it does seem to be getting a little bit worse here in Q2 before it gets better. Elon did make it clear on the Q1 earnings call that this was tough for Tesla in Q1. They worked through it well, but it could be a factor in Q2 as well, whether that shows up in production volume or on the margin line. The other detail I did find interesting from GM's earnings call, this is probably not breaking news, but it was new to me, they do plan to have a subscription model for their Super Cruise driver assist package. So it'll be interesting to compare how that looks in terms of the actual financial structure of it compared to Tesla's FSD subscription, which we should learn more about in the next couple months. All right, and then lastly today, we've got to wrap it up with a SpaceX update. SpaceX today successfully landing their test flight for Starship SN15. And despite a little bit of fire by the landing legs, SpaceX was able to control that. So we didn't have another Starship SN10 situation where the landing looked successful for a minute, but then we saw an RUD, rapidly unscheduled disassembly, just shortly after that. So none of that here for Starship SN15. Elon on Twitter saying the landing was nominal. So huge milestone today for SpaceX on the vehicle that they hope will eventually take people to Mars. Congratulations to everyone on the SpaceX team for that accomplishment today. We did also get a little bit of news on Starlink yesterday. During the Starlink launch livestream, SpaceX announced that they actually have 500,000 pre-orders for Starlink globally. So doing the quick math on that, Starlink service is $99 a month. That's $600 million per year in indicated pre-order interest. And obviously, it's still very early for Starlink and certainly the awareness of it. I would expect SpaceX is feeling pretty good about those numbers so far. So with that, we'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, May 6th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.